You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
You just got to make sure we're in control of ourselves and doing things right. And that's the key to success. But we didn't start on time last game. That's on us.
I think it's important to have a good start, get the building into it. This building's a different animal in the playoffs, and it's an absolute blast playing here.
You know, back at home and the atmosphere that you know, we get in this building, I think everybody's excited, and a start will be really important for us.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
From Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 3 tonight.
I thought we were in the North Pole.
It is so cold down here.
It's a little chilly.
But I like it, God. Man. This is hockey weather.
There you go.
Hockey weather.
No, it isn't. Playoff weather is shorts to the rink. We could have our jackets off. It would be beautiful out. This is not playoff weather. This is getting into the playoff weather.
I embrace it.
It will be for 2 weeks from now. Second round, we'll be sitting down here potentially.
Like, right, you never know. They got a split.
You never know. Exactly. You never know. You got what you wanted in Boston. Now come back game three, clean slate, play hockey.
Yeah, we're up on TSN 4 and, of course, on TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. We're going to have a bunch of people join us down here throughout the afternoon. Duffy, who is back from Augusta. I'm sure he's ecstatic to be back from Augusta right into this.
Yeah.
Because it is cold down here, and he's going to be doing SportsCenter hits all night. He'll join us. Josh Lewenberg will join us. We got a lot of things cooking because this was the biggest sports weekend of the year.
Massive. You know,
one of the bigger sports weekends, I think, of our life. Like, I'm not sure we are going to have another weekend like this in terms of memories.
Yes.
You know, in terms of being able to say, oh, I remember where I was when Woods won the Masters.
People were talking yesterday, Brian, that watching him win was one of the, like, if not the greatest moment in sports. I mean, I don't know where that stacks up upon the other things that have happened, but a lot of tweets were saying that was the greatest thing I've ever seen in sports from people that have been around sports for a long time.
Well, I've always kind of been jealous of my dad, who's gone through, you know, he's older than me, clearly. He's 30 years older, and he's been through, he's seen the Maple Leafs actually win a cup. You know, he was at the Rogers Center in 93 when Carter hit that bomb.
Right.
And he always referenced the 86 Masters, right? For a certain age, that was the go-to golf tournament and the go-to golf moment was Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters in 1986. And I think for my generation, for our generation, that was what we just witnessed over the weekend. Even if you're not a golf fan, that will be the reference point for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Like, that will be the tournament that I don't think I'm ever going to forget.
Yeah, and the big question for Tiger Woods is now, can he go Vijay Singh and rack up a bunch of wins in his 40s?
Well, here's
I love the way that people...
Oh, like,
you don't want to get
people
ahead
of like
yourself.
People like me said he'll never win again, but I'm not going to flip the switch like Stephen A. Smith and now say he's going to break Jack Nicklaus's record. It's amazing to flip-flop with people. It's like, get a hold of yourself.
Let's have some perspective, and that's why I'm saying embrace what just happened here.
Because if it's not a one-off, but if it's the last time we see that, it's still one of the greatest moments of all time.
It might be. I mean, that was the magic of Nicklaus in 86, by all accounts. Again, I was three. I don't remember it was.
Right.
That's it. He never won again. Never won a major again. And kind of everyone knew when he left the course, that was it.
Yeah.
So make sure that you enjoyed it because you might not see it again. I think Tiger's got a much better chance at 43. His game looks great.
Well, he's in great shape.
But
still
his back could blow out tomorrow.
Yep.
Right. All of a sudden, his back is gone. He can't get his glutes to shoot. And next thing you know, we're like, all right, this guy's not even going to be at Bethpage in a month.
I will say, he's won at Bethpage before. And guess where the U.S. Open's at?
Pebble.
Pebble.
Feeling
he's going to have three this summer.
You think so?
I was loving yesterday for multiple reasons.
Okay.
One, I had that futures bet on Tiger.
Yeah, we got to get into that.
Well, I said this on the morning show. The true sign of a degenerate is not someone who's happy they won the bet. It's someone that's furious they didn't bet more.
What about me? I walked up to the same. I sat with you. I walked up and I said, can I put $500 on Tiger winning the Masters? I handed over my credit card. She said, no, cash only. So I went back to you and I said, I'll just come back later today. Never did it.
No.
What kind of betting is cash only?
What would you?
Take anything.
Vegas,
what would
you?
At 500, it was 15-1.
I got 40. Him at 15. No, it was 15-1.
Oh, he was 15.
He was at 15
what would you have
to
taken
one.
Home then?
Well, if you actually put 15. That down, do the math.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a decent chunk of change. One guy put $85,000.
I know.
Down
I saw
on
that
him
online
at 14-1 earlier in the week. It cashed out at $1.16 million Tiger
impressive.
Barely made more money on his own. I mean, it was just an incredible weekend. And we're in Maple Leaf Square because of the game tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050, pregame at 6:30, puck drop at 7 p.m. And I guess we're waiting for the Nazem Kadri news.
You think it'll come down today?
I would suspect it because I think they got other work to deal with. Joe Thornton's getting suspended at some point, so they got to deal with that.
Yep.
And I would, you know, everyone knows Kadri isn't playing tonight and wasn't going to play tonight.
Right.
But you've seen the tape for 48 hours.
Yeah, right? If I'm a fan of the Maple Leafs, get ready because I wouldn't be prepared for him to be back in this series.
No,
it's five games minimum, I would say.
We ran around the table before the show. I don't think any of us thought it was going to be that he was going to see the light of day in this series.
No, he is not playing in this series.
No,
so that's
not.
A five spot at least. You fear, if you're a Maple Leafs fan, that the number climbs a lot higher. Not just, you know, a six spot, or that it gets higher because of past history.
Yeah, well, listen, this guy is about to get suspended for the second year in a row because of an infraction in the exact same corner of the same rink.
And Chara...
Same personnel. Chara was sitting right there, had to grab him and say, what the hell are you doing?
Right. Instead of Wingles, it was DeBrusk.
Right.
But it was honestly the exact same...
Deja vu.
Now, it was a different type of play, but
correct.
Still the same infraction where he went way over the line. It's a selfish play. It can't happen.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. He is damn lucky that Louis DeBrusk... He could have lied there motionless for 5 minutes, and then you're talking big time.
Yeah.
Because he got right back up and went nuts and tried. But if he didn't do that, he could have just lied there with his arms at his side and lied motionless, and then everybody would have been like, wow, that is gory. That is the thing you got to get out of the game. We don't ever want to see him play. Like, he's just lucky he didn't do that.
You're bang on. Optics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Optics of it was bad. And I know, you know, there was a lot of things we're going to get into and how it led up and all of that, but... You're right. The actual optics. Now, we saw it live from the one angle, and then you start to see online some of the other angles that look worse, actually. From behind, it looked bad, but you couldn't really tell. You knew that the stick got up, and it was a hit, and DeBrusk goes down. But, you know, the one telling angle is kind of the reverse angle. But you're right. If he stays down, and I wouldn't suggest anything that he would just stay down to sell it, but if it was worse...
Yeah,
if
listen... If a stretcher comes out, Kadri is not playing again this year, even if they win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
He's done. We're talking 20 games,
yeah,
25
exactly.
games.
You start heading into you know, territory of Tom Wilson suspension, our buddy.
You're talking Dale Hunter.
I was going to say Dale Hunter.
Yeah, you're getting into Hunter.
Dale Hunter on Turgeon was 26 games or 23 games.
Right.
Can we please stop with the narrative? Oh, my God, the Leafs can't trust Nazem Kadri anymore. Maybe they got to think about moving. Can we just stop with that narrative?
So where are you at with that?
Why can you trust him right now? How can you trust him?
Well, I would rather try to trust the guy and tell him to calm down a little bit. What about all the guys that are going on the ice that you can't get 1 ounce of intensity out?
That's a problem, too. I don't trust them either.
No, I don't trust them. Maybe William Nylander, move them. Austin Matthews last game, we got to move you, too. You were nowhere to be found.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
I'm just saying, I would rather have a guy to sit him down and say, and work with that, as opposed to begging a guy to drop a bead of sweat in a playoff game. So let's get serious.
I think what's important to point out here is no one should be making executive decisions based on two games
Toronto,
of a playoff series.
It's so stupid.
Exactly. Like, people running with this idea, that's it, Kadri's done forever.
Get him out of town. Like, give your head.
And the same thing applies with William Nylander. Like, the exact same mentality. If you're going to apply it to Kadri, it has to apply to him.
Absolutely.
You can't just trade this guy today because he's had a bad year and a bad... I'm not saying he won't get traded, and maybe Kadri will get traded. I don't know what's going to happen come the draft and into July and August.
You got to let the dust settle
your
playoffs, on everything. But recency bias has left a little bit of a sour taste in the fan base's mouth because... It happened last year. You went to Game 7. You had Thomas Plekanec going up against top players because Naz was not available.
Right.
Now you've got more depth, but that was coming into the series. What did we argue about all the time? Look at how the Maple Leafs are built down the middle. That was a strength. You Kadri against Charlie Coyle. Coyle's played well, but you want that intensity. As hard as I am on Nazem, he's still a guy you want on your team. But coming back to the trust factor, that's 2 years in a row. If things don't work out for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's one narrative that is going to come back.
Absolutely.
I think his teammates were probably a factor in him getting suspended. Well, going out there, killing people in the corners, he's getting killed. He's probably looking around. Is anybody else does anybody else want to partake in this?
What about was it David Krejci that got the roughing penalty? And I think there was a scrum in front, and I think it was Nas versus five guys.
Yeah.
And guys were checking their skates, kind of floating in there. He's looking at the bench going, like, what are we doing here?
I don't think
Freddie the Goat was checking
doubt.
The curve on his stick.
I don't think there's any doubt. Listen, you can't excuse the play.
No.
There's no excusing
You're
the play.
Right.
There's no condoning the play. But you can try to explain the play. And I do think a part of it was, you know, this is a guy who plays with passion, plays with emotion. And I think there's scars from that building and that team. I absolutely believe that.
I heard you say that this morning. It was a really good take in the sense that I didn't look at it that way.
Oh, I believe it. I believe there are two. I thought Jake Gardner was a shell of himself in game one and two.
He's a ghost.
Could partially be the back, but I honestly think there are two guys that were in the building in 2013 and were there in 2018. Two of them.
Right.
And Jake Gardner, I thought, was a mess in game one and game two. He looked afraid. He looked skittish.
Yeah.
And Nazem Kadri, I honestly think he got into a position where he's in that building again. He's getting beat up. His team's fading on him. People are going at him, and he completely malfunctioned.
Yep.
And I honestly, I don't believe he does that against any other team in any other building in the league. I 100% believe.
It's called a rivalry. It's called hatred, and he got out of control.
He got out of control. But he's always been on the losing end of the rivalry.
Well,
that's the point. He's always on the losing end of the rivalry.
I don't know. After the Clendenning hit, the cross-check in Detroit, I kind of think I would say to myself, I can't go around cross-checking people in the net.
Of course.
That's the
especially
one thing.
In the playoffs, because it's going to be half of whatever. Like, if that's regular season, that cross-check in Boston, he's going to get 20 games.
Well, here's the thing. That's what scares me is if you look at the pattern, the history is all headshots. There's hits from behind, the jump last year on the Wingles. It's a sliding scale, and now the stick's involved. Like, I don't even know what the mentality is in Peros' office with his management team there, but it doesn't look good if the league wants to make a statement. Say, because they've made a statement on Tom Wilson before. Now, Wilson appealed and got it knocked down, but initially, it was big numbers.
No, Kadri's a repeat offender. There's
that's
no dancing around it.
You know, I mean, we talk about Brad Marchand, a repeat offender, a guy who plays dirty, plays in the gray area, all of that, great player. Nazem Kadri's a good player the frustrating part from somebody on the outside watching, I get that you're excitable. I've made stupid errors. We've all have, but is there a touch of ego involved?
Well, I think the fact that it was Jake DeBrusque factored into it as well.
And Jake got him that game.
And this is what's disappointing, I think, if you're Babcock, outside of the fact that Kadri's done right now,
right,
is that I thought Kadri got the better of DeBrusque in game one.
He did.
And, okay, DeBrusque got you in game two.
Yeah.
It happened. The refs factored in. The coincidental in the first period was a joke.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was an intentional knee by DeBrusque, but I thought it should have been 2 minutes for tripping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't happen.
I thought it was knee-on-knee contact. There's a slow-motion picture where his leg is directly sticking out.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody could say that that's unintentional.
But I
could care less if there wasn't a penalty, but for anybody to say that that wasn't intentional contact, they're clueless. I'm sorry.
I thought Nas bailed on the hit, though.
He's trying to get out of the way.
He knew DeBrusque had him, and he tried to get out of the way, and certainly the knees were connected. This all ties together. You're right. The reffing could have been a lot better on both sides because I thought Hyman on Marchand.
Yeah.
There was one.
There were examples on both sides.
But the point
I thought it was worse against the Leafs because
correct.
I thought the Leafs got penalized for like the fact that Freddie the Goat got a roughing penalty when guys are pushing and hitting.
No,
that was a joke.
You're right.
That was a joke.
You're right. It was worse for the Leafs from looking at the outside. But I look at those plays and they – why would Nazem, if he had a problem with Jake DeBrusque, go drop your gloves and fight him?
And that's the goofiness of the sport.
But the truth is,
if he dropped the gloves and laid him out and broke his nose, he'd be playing tonight.
Absolutely.
Instead, he cross-checks him. DeBrusque gets right up and is playing tonight, and you're done for the series.
If he goes and jumps him.
Yeah.
Just go and jump him and rough him up. Chara would have been there within a few seconds anyways.
Right.
But you get your point across, and you're playing tonight in front of a lively building in your own city.
Well, in a weird way, I mean, as much as you want Nazem Kadri in the lineup because, you know, he balances out the lineup Now you got Nylander in the middle of the lineup.
What has he done in the last game to assume more responsibility? Do you have any answer to that?
Honestly, I think it's you can't play Patrick Marleau either. Right. That's the truth. Yeah. Marleau has done nothing.
What's
through
wrong
two
with
games.
Nick Spatan? He's just sitting there. He's a good player.
Well, I think what becomes obvious is that Freddie the Goat, he cannot move up. If Gauthier can't move up and give you third line minutes, it
What's
says
he done
something.
On the fourth line, though, to even stay there? No, I know they don't want to have a bunch of Smurfs on the fourth line, but I don't know. Nick Patan should just say, get me the hell out of here. I'm never playing.
Well, he's a borderline American Hockey League player. He's got no right to demand anything.
The thing for me is, you're right, it's what you have. You can push Kapanen up, and you can have Nylander slide over and then push guys around. At least Nylander's played center. Maybe you get something out of him.
Well, like that was do. It it's got to be that way.
Listen, it was a I don't even know, and in looking at it from a goaltender's perspective, I think Freddie could have helped out a little bit, but I mean, you're trusting a player to make a play.
I don't know what Freddie Anderson can do on that play on the goal like that. And William Nylander had the stones to give it the look back.
Did you see that?
I couldn't believe he stared back.
I thought Freddie was going to charge him.
Honestly, I thought he was going to go Jason Voorhees and chase him around the ice.
Our boy Fergie is going to be in the building. Are we going to confirm or deny?
I didn't have anything prepared, but we might be able to do something on the
Wednesday. Wednesday.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Don't worry about confirm or deny will be a part of the program
Before
here.
We go to break, shout out to Jeff McDonald, our boss, for getting those space heaters he mentioned in the email.
Oh, it's we're almost overheating.
No space heaters.
He's worried about Tiger in his office. That's this guy. Yeah. I didn't realize he was that big of a Tiger fan.
No, he's got a red golf shirt on today, and all he's doing is fist pumping
in
his
office.
And
when you come back, I'll have an admission about the Masters. I did watch it.
Okay.
But not live.
I cried. Right. I cried when he won.
Get out of here.
I swear I did.
Why would you cry?
I don't know. I cried.
For what, though?
I don't know.
That's so
I've told you how much I loved the red shirt on Sunday, winning, being in contention. I cried.
It was touching when the sun comes around.
I didn't care about that. I just love seeing the guy win.
Can we take this opportunity for a PSA for all the Grit Grinders out there?
Yeah.
That red-shirted Nike mock turtleneck, don't buy that thing.
Yeah, like if you're Appy Barnrat, you're not getting that.
Yeah,
our boy Appy Barnrat, he barnratted in his drawers and was awful all weekend.
Well, there was Francesco Molinari, Appy Barnrat on the
Mals,
back nine.
Please get Faldo again. This guy puked all over himself on 12, and let's hear what Faldo have to say. We'll get the Spieth on 12 and then the Molinari after the break.
The Appy Barnrat. We're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 3 tonight. Leafs Bruins, you can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. We're streaming online, tsn1050.ca, on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Game 3 tonight, Maple Leafs Bruins down here at Scotiabank. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050.
Yes, guy, no guy, if I do a body surf when the peeps start coming in.
I would love that to be a yes guy.
But I don't know how.
Is it a danger?
It's a danger because if you get under some arms that aren't that strong, you could.
I don't know why you would ever do that. You could do, like anyone would, even the musician.
But have you ever seen it where a guy dives in the crowd and people can't hold him up and he goes head first into the floor?
All the time. Or they're like, no, I'm not catching you. I never signed up for a catch.
Yeah.
Like, you're 350 pounds. You're Appy Barnrat. I'm not going to catch you.
Can you imagine Appy Barnrat at the Masters? Just goes into the crowd.
But he didn't have a reason to this time.
No,
he struggled
ugly.
On the weekend.
Now, I saw your tweet, the great white shark. Who was that for?
Francesco Molinari.
There was two of them.
Yeah, it was Molinari. Like, Finau really faded too, man.
He couldn't handle that stage. He just couldn't do it. He was awful all day, and he just hung in there for a paycheck.
Yeah. This morning on First Up, Landsberg and Koliakovo announced a Raptors playoff keyword. If you heard it, now is your chance to call at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. And the first person through with the correct keyword will win a pair of tickets to see the Raptors Game 2 tomorrow night at Scotiabank. More pressure to perform over the next 24 hours at Scotiabank. Auston Matthews or Kyle Lowry?
Well, they both had the same thing, nothing. So who can get better than nothing?
I say Auston Matthews because he's had two games. And game one, he had chances. So he was flying, he had chances, Rask made a couple good saves, hits a post, so game of inches. But it doesn't matter. When you look at the score sheet and you're bagels for two games, that's the only reason why.
Yeah, and people are carrying over last year, too. I mean, he's played nine games against the Bruins in the playoffs.
I'm going Kyle Lowry. He is known to choke in the playoffs and have zero production. His numbers have been awful.
Well, he literally had 0 points on Saturday.
And the coach from Orlando gave him praise and said, you know what? He had this many steals, this many passes, he's a great player. He just missed some shots. Sorry, not buying it. I don't know. What is the motivation to pump a guy's tires that couldn't hit a shot?
But what if he was being honest? Like, that's almost like reverse trolling. Where you're like, yeah, the guy was brilliant. You know what? Bring him out again. We want to see that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Make him feel like that's exactly what you should be
minutes.
Doing.
Yeah.
And listen, Kyle, you know, wasn't his best night defensively. I thought he got torched against DJ Augustine, I'll be honest. Like, that's another thing. Everyone's like, he took a charge. He had assists.
Wasn't that dude with the raps?
Yeah, he was here for like a cup of coffee 5-6 years ago. But I honestly think the biggest storyline from the Raptors game was not Kyle Lowry. It was Kawhi Leonard only playing 33 minutes. And that's a rookie move by Nick Nurse. That's completely unacceptable.
You this had guy, to be at 40?
Pushing 40, if not 40. Absolutely. This guy came out all year. Kawhi, Nurse, Masai.
Load management.
82 preseason games. Load management.
Yep.
I'm prepping for the playoffs. Once we get to the playoffs, it's go time. He pulled his weight. He played really well. But if he doesn't get into the game, what's he supposed to do?
Well, I can understand the idea of underestimating your opponent, but after you notice that that's not the case, don't you make an adjustment after that?
Exactly. And Nick Nurse even came out after. He's like, I don't even have an explanation. Like, that's not
you
a good look.
You got to track. You got to track the minutes and have a feel.
Right. He didn't have a feel. That's just a fact. He did not have a feel. Now, I don't think he'll make that mistake again.
Well, if he says I don't have an explanation, is that the player saying keep me?
No. No. Kawhi, man. Kawhi's itching to get on. It was a close game. He knew it. Kawhi was feeling it, too. Well, you know, and they don't play again until tomorrow night. Two full off days in between games.
That's load management. That's. I mean, at least in game one, Austin Matthews was skating and had shots towards the net. Babcock gave him a couple minutes extra.
He played over 20.
Exactly. And that is 2.5 more than he was used to in the regular season. What's the excuse with Kawhi?
There is none. Like, there really is no excuse for him only playing 33 minutes. Like, if he's healthy and it's a close game in the playoffs, he should never be under 37 or 38 minutes. Ever. And, well, you know, using he was at the scores table, and it took a while to get a whistle excuse. I mean, no one's going to buy that. That can't happen. So Kyle's got to be better, clearly, but Kawhi's got to play more minutes.
So I said Austin, he said Lowry. Where are you at?
I think I'm on Matthews because they're in more of a dogfight. You know, even though, full credit to Orlando, they played well. Like, they really did play well.
They won game one on the road.
Yeah, and that's impressive. But I really don't think that's going to be a series.
How much of a mortgage payment would you bet on game two that the Raptors just rinse them?
I feel good about them tomorrow night.
Now, we all lost mortgage payments on Tampa over the weekend. Like,
that is...
I don't know what...
That's building up to be the most shocking, you know, individual round I can remember. If you get swept... You know, like, I know President's Trophy teams have lost in the first round.
I was part of one.
Right. But you lost in seven, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. But it was in 2000.
To who?
And we were to San Jose.
Jesus.
Remember, we were a really good team in St. Louis. And Owen Nolan and his crew. Owen scored from center ice at one point in game seven.
On you?
No, not him. It was Roman Turek.
But should have been
that game
you.
Seven. No. That game seven. We were down, I think, 3-1 after the first period, but it was 2-1, and just before the buzzer, Owen throws one from center, and Turek mishandles it, and it's 3-1, and we don't recover.
No kidding.
We lose, but I mean, that's at least seven. Tampa looks completely rattled, and Columbus looks amazing, and the one thing I keep coming back to, they have showed zero respect for Tampa.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, listen, this is the difference between the way the NHL media, you know, approaches and kind of attacks storylines compared to every other league.
Right.
If this was the NBA, this was the NFL, maybe not baseball, specifically the NBA and the NFL, and the superstar of superstars was down 3-0 in a series with 0 points, it would be 100% of the content on ESPN, FS1, and I'm talking about Sidney Crosby. Down 3-0, 0 points.
That's another one.
That's the biggest story. That should be the biggest story in the sport because of who he is.
Correct.
Like, if LeBron James was down 3-0 and was putting up like 12 points a game, you know, five rebounds.
Well, you know what helped him yesterday?
Nothing. Tiger Woods, I guess.
Because you know how many people watched that Penns Islanders game?
Yeah.
Seven.
I hear you.
Seven people watched that game.
Six
and me.
So the storylines were coming out.
Is that the confession you were watching
the confession.
That game?
I watched that game.
Oh, my God.
I taped the Masters because I was like, okay, I'm going to track it on Twitter. I'm going to come back to it.
I thought to myself, you know, you're the one exception. I was going to say, anybody that tries to break down that Penns Islanders game, they're full of crap, and you're a liar.
Honestly, go stand at that wall and talk to it. That's how many people care about
it. And you're right, but I got kind of sucked into it and lost track of time.
Because if that was prime, it was a 12 o'clock game.
That's why.
But the storyline out of that game, Sidney Crosby, another goose egg, and playing like crap. And they're down 3-0.
Yeah. This is the superstar of superstars.
That's the two.
And if
series,
you want to back it up, Stamkos and Tampa's right after that. Right.
And Braden Point and all those guys who dominate. Vasilevsky looks like a shell of himself. Like, I'm looking at Pittsburgh, and you're right. Star power, feathers. But the Islanders have just mowed over.
For
exactly.
Them.
Those two teams have said, I don't care who we're playing, we're going to play our way. This Cizikas and Matt Martin and
how about
Clutterbuck.
Leo Komarov's out there bombing around.
But you're looking at this thinking this is those players 10 years ago.
Right.
And they're hitting everything and they're creating chances. Both of those games, the Columbus-Tampa and the Islanders-Pittsburgh, it had the same mantra. It was like, I don't care who we're playing against, we're playing that way.
Which is the way every team should be feeling.
Correct.
Because, you know, it's a cliche, it's a blank slate, everyone's got 0-0 in the standings. But the majority of teams just don't act that way. And I think it should lead to some perspective in this town. Because, you know, Toronto was on a high on Friday.
Yep.
Because of the way the team played on Thursday night. And then they were on a low on Sunday because of the way the team played on Saturday night. And they were polar opposites.
Yep.
I thought the Leafs played really well and deserved to win game one. And the Bruins played really well and deserved to win game two. But you got to split. You know, it's game three tonight. And the same thing with the Kadri stuff. That can't be an excuse for you to throw away the series.
No. Right.
Like, you're still, it's 1-1. You're at home tonight. This is why he went out there and got John Tavares. This is why Austin Matthews is worth $11.6 million.
You're not going to Thomas Plekanec anymore.
No, let's go. You got two big boys, and if you're Babcock, you're riding them into the ground.
Agreed.
Yes. They're both playing 20 minutes tonight, as far as I'm concerned, in regulation.
Yeah, let them respond to that, see how they deal with that.
Exactly. Like, okay, Kadri's out. No one's happy about it.
Every offensive draw, it's one or the other. There you go.
Right.
Go after it.
Yeah.
That time, and you might as well ride him through the ground, and you need a response from a guy like Willie Nylander.
Are you expecting a response from him?
Well, I'm hoping, and I think that he has more to give. We all know that.
You want to talk about not trusting a guy or giving up on a guy. If he doesn't respond after that, given that that assignment, that opportunity, there's something seriously wrong.
I was shocked. I got to be honest. I was shocked he was on the ice for Kadri's goal. I was shocked that he was.
Oh, I don't think he missed a shift.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You even said that that you and I were sitting together Saturday. You're like, why is this guy even on the ice after that?
Yeah.
Like accountability, too.
Right. Well, I think when it comes to both those guys, Nylander's a bit of a different story because he just hasn't. It's been a throwaway season up
to here.
Tough season,
yeah.
You know, it's a shame. He's in his prime, and it just hasn't worked for him, clearly. That said, you get up on a day like tonight, you've got an opportunity at redemption.
Listen, you're ones. Like, if we came in here the other day and said, okay, what was your objective in Boston? Split.
Absolutely. It didn't matter who won which game.
And it was two different games, and there's lots of storylines and lots of excuses on both sides. But you've got an opportunity in Game 3 in your own building. You write your own narrative.
Well, and I think, you know, it's on the player to be up. Like, if you're not alive and you don't have adrenaline coursing through you for a playoff game, there's something wrong with
you. Yeah, it's on you.
But if, for whatever reason, it's not there, it's on the coach to get 34 going tonight. I don't care how he has to move him around. You've got to get something out of him. And I think, in a way, you know, I was talking with a buddy of mine today, you know, you want Kadri in the lineup, clearly. But him being out of the lineup, the way he plays, it might lead to more discipline, you know, permeating
around
the whole group.
Yeah.
Because I would think the last 2 days, if I'm Babcock, if I'm Dubas, if I'm Shanahan, I'm all over the refs, and I'm talking to my own team, and I'm saying, guys, let's play as disciplined as possible. It's the playoffs. Things are going to happen. But lean on the refs to start calling the real penalties that should be called. And if they don't, then so be it.
Yeah.
Are you not shocked at the squabbles in the media, like team media people, like saying, like they're like little kids. They're like, oh, that should have been a penalty. Oh, it's wrong.
It happens on both sides. I think you're right. That's up to management and the coaches. When they have their meetings, they'll be all over the off-ice officials and the refs. The refs will be instructed. Believe me, I think people will be on watch tonight, but that doesn't give you a free pass to...
Well, to mail it in or do something stupid.
Exactly.
No, I agree.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not convinced the officiating, it's not going to return to regular season form.
No,
it just doesn't happen.
But it has to be more accountable.
A little bit more accountable, and I think the message should be to the Maple Leafs, you know, it's such a cliche, play between the whistles, but because Boston's cool with the traffic. They're cool with the scrums.
Sure.
You know, they like getting into the muck. The Maple Leafs just don't. They're not built for it. A scrum and a fight or something like that, I don't think that amps up this team.
No.
I think goal scoring and odd man rushes and opportunities and...
That's the way they're constructed.
That's how they're built, you know. James Duthy is going to join us around the table.
Yeah, shout out for the heating blankets. They don't even work. Good job, Phil.
I can't believe you have a blanket on right now. Noodles?
I do have one on my legs, but the wind is blowing in underneath.
Wow.
That's the problem. We've got venting.
Dude, I'm freezing. Like, it's freezing down here.
Maybe it'll warm up in a little bit. I can't see it with the sun going down. It's not going to be good.
I'm going to throw on some gloves.
If you wear gloves, can I wear a balaclava?
You wear whatever you want. This is the old Lloyd Christmas. You've had gloves this whole time?
Well, my hands are sweating.
Why don't you just get a wood chipper and put your man card in it? Oh, my God. They're brutal gloves,
oh,
too.
These are outstanding gloves.
Are they leather?
They're pleather.
Pleather.
Pleather,
I like it.
Gloves. Dude,
that's pathetic.
You have a blanket.
I have a heating blanket that our boss got us that doesn't work.
I've got an old man heating blanket that needs to be plugged in. There's no plug-ins here.
You guys look like Bran from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Did not watch a second of that. That I will admit.
You look like Al Roker about to do the weather.
I look like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho is what I actually look like. All right, Duffy, who was in Augusta yesterday, we'll get into Tiger and the significance and what it was like to be down there. The scene looked incredible. We're teeing up the game tonight, of course. Game 3 can be heard right here on TSN 1050. We're live in Maple Leaf Square. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we are live from Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 3 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drop at 7 o'clock. And SportsCenter, they're down here doing their hits as well. And... James Duffy, nice enough to join us around the table. And you just told us, you actually came home last night. We thought you were flying home this morning from Augusta.
I had the sweetest Augusta travel arrangement in the history of the world, and that's because Bob Weeks and I and David Hearn attend a couple of company dinners down there.
Yeah.
The company rents a house. They fly down their important clients and such. And Saturday night, we're sitting there having a glass of wine, and... they moved the tee times up, and I said, Stu, our boss, you think Bob and I might be able to sneak on that charter? It's leaving. Yeah, we'd love to have you, but it's leaving at 4 o'clock. So Tiger putted in. We had a half an hour post-show to do, but you know, we're all doing so. Tape, 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 live on SportsCenter, live on SportsCenter. Boom, into a car, to the airport. Like, literally 5 minutes before the flight took off, I was in my house, in my sweatpants at 7 p.m. Every Masters year, the green jacket isn't on at 7 p.m.
Yeah, right.
So it was a bonus.
So you got to watch Game of Thrones last night, too,
which is very
important.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, period.
I'm shocked you're not in here in the red mock turtleneck
like
every other Tiger super fan.
Well, I said one of the guys on the plane was one of the execs from Golf Town, and he was on his phone. His phone was going nuts, and he said... Like, our site is almost crashing because everybody's buying this thing, which I heard you guys. To me, that's the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
The stupidest thing you could do is buy the... You look like an idiot wearing the thing that Tiger wore.
Absolutely.
No. Everyone's going to have bubble gum, too. Bubble gum.
Well, you... Yeah, he was chewing the gum. I will admit that.
Well, did you hear his explanation?
No. Right.
He said the explanation was that because he was chewing gum, he didn't have the urge to eat anything during the round. But why would that matter if he has like a banana or has an apple or an orange or something?
On
why would that matter?
Completely unproven. But and Phil started it too, right? Phil started at Pebble. I'm terrible at this. What's the three initials of the pot that has no actual PSD, whatever it is? The medicinal pot that has no...
THC? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Everyone's yelling at the radios
THC
right now.
THC or something, yeah. Somebody,
but
the pot smokers are...
That's becoming a thing on tour, and I believe it's legal. And I think it might be that I think they can put it in gums and candies and stuff. And because Phil was also squeezing some oil during the round,
so none of these guys are eating anything. Like no bars. No
I don't
fruit,
know what's going on, but I think
no
it's
veggies.
Just, I think
there
it's
was
just
a few of them eating. Some of the, you don't fill out shirts like that.
Affy Barn Rat.
I was going to say that.
Phil
guy.
Says it activates the front lobe of his brain or something. He's been told by someone. So
that was one of the greatest videos driving in, though.
By the way, my favorite moment listening to you guys driving downtown was when you were talking about the 15-1 bet you cashed in.
Yeah.
And Jamie said, so what was the bet, 500? So you would have cashed in, and then there was like a 2-second pause because none of you were willing to do what the 15-1 on 500 was. And then it was just kind of, yeah, that's a big chunk of change.
Well,
nobody could do the 7,500.
In my mind, I wanted to say 7,500, but I was like, a few times he's been like, yeah, it's paying.
Way off.
No, it's minus 200 going into the game.
Okay,
I'm like, I don't understand.
Okay.
I'm not a gambling degenerate, so I would have. I felt like saying, well, 15-1, 7,500, but.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a degenerate to know basic math.
But I thought there was some sort of lingo that I'd be missing out on. But, yeah, I would have missed it.
Yeah, we all went real soft.
Yeah,
there.
Just silence.
But, I tell you what, it was a spectacular spectacular 4 days. That thing, I mean, in the moment I felt like maybe next to the 2010 Olympics, that's the coolest thing I've ever covered. And the gold medal game with Crosby. And the only thing, and maybe in time it'll go down my list, but the only thing that's different is I wasn't right there. Because of the job we have to do, we have to be on air basically as soon as Tiger putts in. So I went out there, my boy Puff from, we went out and watched like 8, 9, 10, which was very cool. He made that putt on 9, and Puff's a huge Tiger fan. And then we went to the walkway between 9 and 10. Where everybody's trying to slap hands with him, and Puffy, he was working at TSN. Tiger walks by, he's like, "You got this, buddy. You got this." I'm like, "Puff, we're on TSN. You can't do that."
Relax.
But the electricity was. I mean, I've been at a lot of majors, and that was something I've never seen before. You get, all these fans, mostly middle-aged men, just losing their freaking minds at the possibility of this happening. But I was on set when he tapped in at 18. I was watching it on TV like everybody else.
Right.
We're about 300 yards away probably from the 18th green, so you hear the roars and everything. But, yeah, it was spectacular.
Could have been worse. I mean, the security guard, did we check in on that security guard that almost broke his ankle?
Well, the folks at Augusta have strange rules, and we got an email saying not to show that again because he was getting death threats. And I was calling no way because nobody knew who he was, so who's giving
and
him death
an
threats?
And it was an accident. It was wet ground.
Right. Yeah, now, if Tiger had been hurt.
Sold
maybe.
It, though. He sold it.
Yeah, if Tiger left Augusta on a stretcher, that guy would be in the prison that Bane escaped from in the Batman movie.
Saturday was like the greatest day ever at Augusta, not just because of the leaderboard and Tiger hanging in, but Affy Barn Rat, who I heard you guys reference, falling down. The security guard on Tiger.
John Rahm shanked one.
Complete shank.
Yeah.
And Zach Johnson's was the best ever.
And how about, and on Saturday I saw you guys play, we referenced Phil, like Phil Mickelson, with the video driving down Magnolia
Lane. Wasn't that spectacular?
It's like bombs.
Honestly, like I consider myself a professional. I couldn't hit the mark the way he hit the mark. Like he didn't mess up once, and he pulled into a spot, and he just ends the video.
Yeah.
Goes, I'm hitting bombs, and I'm attacking pins.
It was awesome,
and he was so hungry for side action.
He will get if he was to retire today, he'd get about $15 million a year to go in a booth somewhere. I'd say.
Oh yeah, no
immediately.
Question.
Yeah, he'd be the Tony Romo of golf immediately.
Faldo again though, James. When Molinari choked on 12, this is what he did. He's like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
I'm like. Is that what?
Okay, I'm going to say one thing about 12, not to get too, but that was a weird moment. Oh, because you saw right before for Koepka, Poulter, and then Finau and Molinari all within 10 minutes to do it. That is the strangest place on the course as far as winds and swirls. And I have to think that they all somehow misjudged it the same way, because for four guys that good, I don't think they all choked at that exact same moment. I think there was a miscalculation with caddies or something there.
You got to do the Jack Nicklaus on 12 when you tee off. You look back at 11 flag and see where the wind's going.
Yeah, I know. But Tiger, middle of the green.
Well, how about the overreaction, though? Now, all of a sudden, he's not only going to pass Nicklaus, he's going to get to 30. Like, immediately, this guy wins a Masters, and it's like he'll never lose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're talking about the Grand Slam this summer. Beth Page, Pebble. Right. Where's the Open?
Yeah, that I mean that's the thing I hate about like the Stephen A. Smithing of our media, right?
You know, Stephen A. Smith, he's on record saying this guy's never going to win again.
And now he's
going to break the record.
I would say this. I would say if the back, we were talking about this on air yesterday, that when Jack won at 46 and 86, that it felt like the end. It felt like the last hurrah, and Jack probably even thought that. And Tiger's only 3 years younger, but it doesn't feel like that remotely right now.
Well, do you know what Vijay did in his 40s? He was incredible from 40 to 46.
I think you have a five-year window here, as long as the back, with the asterisk on the back, a five-year window of potential majors every year. So it's possible. I'd still, if we go back to your Vegas bets, I'd still bet against him breaking Jack's record.
Right.
But in the end, I don't think it matters. I think this is... He could walk away right now and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I said.
He won't.
Yeah. No, he won't. And I hope he doesn't. I hope he continues to perform.
It's fantastic for golf.
Yeah, it really is. And he's so transcendent. Like, he's on a different path and in a different bubble than any other athlete, I think, in individual sports anyway. You know, I think I saw Sports Illustrated, their newest version or newest edition that's coming out. No words.
Which is very rare for them.
No words. Just the picture of him, like, you know, pure jubilance, like, obviously winning the green jacket last night.
How about Nike? The commercial
they
was
jumped
brilliant.
On that quick, and they did a great job.
Yeah, they had that ready and just queued up.
Yeah.
Like that, he barely put it in the cup, and that commercial ran. It was awesome.
The only thing that, you know, go back to my question of where it ranks all time and what we'll think about in 20, 30 years is it didn't have, I mean, 16 was really cool with Michael Phelps in the background. If that had gone in, I mean, and it was 2 inches away, but there wasn't maybe, if he'd made that putt on 18, it was such a clinical destruction of the golf course that there was no, you know, crazy 40-footers or anything like that that maybe it'll stick in your head. The only thing that would have made it cooler is if Koepka made that putt, let's say, and Tiger had to make that last one in 18 and made it, and then... You know, it's almost twice as memorable.
Yeah. Well, Dustin Johnson was coming on hot too down the
stretch. What was that shot on 18? Was that like, was that a chunk or
Tiger?
Yeah.
I think I hit a little branch the second one.
Yeah, I did. He hit a tree,
and he just didn't get it there.
But still, unbelievable atmosphere. I mean, chanting his name and all that. I mean,
it's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I'm still not sure. You know, Bob Weeks says he has changed. You know, with his family and everything. But during the 18 holes, he hasn't changed. Standing, you know, 2 feet away from him as he walks by me from 9 to 10, it's the exact same stare. Completely does not hear a word of anybody is saying or any of the cheers. It's remarkable.
He's the greatest. It's unbelievable to watch him when he's in.
And Michael Phelps in the background. The guy's a mutant.
Well, yeah.
Seriously, he is.
And
he's
looked
huge.
Like Hunter S. Thompson, too.
I know.
Like, get to Vegas and pop some pills or something. All right, Duffy, we'll catch you on SportsCenter tonight.
Okay, buddy.
There's James Duffy. Ray Ferraro coming up in the next hour. Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter, will join us around the table as well. We're live at Maple Leaf Square. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.